If you're new, you know, sometimes people ask us, why do you call yourselves Harbor Church? That doesn't really make any sense. You're right in the middle of Kaimuki. You know, you're buried in the neighborhood. You're not next to any harbor. Why do you call yourselves Harbor Church? Well, the reason is not that we're next to a harbor, that we want to be a harbor. That's why we call ourselves that. A harbor is a place of refuge where boats can come in from the stormy seas, find shelter. A harbor is a place of redemption where boats are restored, where they're made new. And a harbor is a place of resurgence where boats are equipped. Little boats can go out and cross big oceans if they have the right provisions. And we see ourselves in a lot the same way. We want to be a place of refuge for Honolulu, where people are welcomed, where they're valued. We want to be a place of redemption for Honolulu, where people are restored and renewed through the grace of Jesus Christ. And then we also want to be a place of resurgence for Honolulu, where people are equipped to go out and change the world. We want to send people out to do some damage, good kind damage, for the sake of the gospel and with the love of Jesus Christ. And we want to be all of those things for Honolulu because we are for Honolulu. We are here in the middle of Honolulu, and we are for Honolulu because our God is for Honolulu. Our God wants to bless Honolulu. That's what it says on the front of your bulletin, that card that you got when you came in, for Honolulu, because God is rooting for Honolulu. He wants to bless Honolulu. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at some stories in the Bible that show us how that is, why that is, how God wants to bless us. These are stories that Jesus told that explain to us and they help us understand how God really is for us. And today, we want to look at a story that shows us how God is a father for us. And he wants to be a father for Honolulu. It's a concept that God uses all through the Bible. He calls himself a father over and over again. But we're going to look at a story in Luke 11, short little story that explains that. So if you have your Bible, you can look that up, or we'll have it on the screen, so you can just look at the screen as well. Luke 11, starting in verse 9, Jesus says, "I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So, if you're new with us here, what we like to do every Sunday is take a little bit of the Bible, read it together, and then just kind of talk about it a little bit. So that's what we're going to do over the next few minutes. Just talk about a little piece of God's word to us. Here it says in Luke 11, if your son asks for a fish, do you give him a snake? If your daughter asks for an egg, do you give her a scorpion? Now, maybe that seems strange, especially to you kids. You know, you've never thought about asking your dad for a fish or asking your mom for an egg. But back in those days, that's just what kids like to eat, you know? That's what they wanted to eat. So think about that today. What do kids like to eat today? Where would they most like to go? Kids, where would you most like to go? McDonald's. I just heard it loud and clear. McDonald's. Unanimous opinion, pretty much, is what I'm getting. Right? So you can just think of it as a fish fillet, right? Filet-O-Fish or an Egg McMuffin. Just think about it that way, okay? If your kid asks you for a fillet of fish or a Happy Meal, all right, let's just put it in those terms, right? You go to McDonald's. You take your kids to McDonald's, and your three-year-old daughter is with you. You say, "What do you like? What do you want to eat?" What does she say? "Happy Meal, Happy Meal." You're like, "You got it. I'm going to go get you a Happy Meal right now." You walk up to the counter. You order a Happy Meal, and when the box comes, you sneak a snake into that box. You've smuggled that snake into Hawaii illegally just for this, okay? You got to hang with this story, all right? It takes a little suspension of belief. You sneak the snake into the box. You bring it back. You put it down in front of her. She's going, "Happy Meal, Happy Meal." And you're like, "Open it up." Would you ever do that to your daughter? Come on. Your four-year-old son asks for chicken McNuggets. You're like, "You got it, buddy. I'm going to go get them right now. You walk up to the counter. You order chicken McNuggets, but when they come, you dump them out on the floor and you replace them with scorpion McNuggets, all right? Centipede McNuggets is what you put in that box. This box is just writhing with centipedes and scorpions. You bring it back. You put it in front of your four-year-old son. You're like, open it up, boy. Let's see this. What, who would do that to their kid? That's the question Jesus is asking. Who would ever do that to their kid? I think I just heard somebody say mine. My parents would do that. I might have been my kids. I don't know. But we're going to put that to the test, all right? We're going to try this out. When we have the keiki with us like we do today, we like to put them to work. So I need three volunteers under the age of 12, all right? Three under, a couple of hands just went down. Three volunteers under the age of 12. All right, we got one right there. One Kawaguchi per Sunday, all right? You guys got a John Kimpo for it, all right? All right, sorry. Sorry, Jackson. All right, not one of my kids, no. We need two more volunteers under the age of 12. We have one more, all right, and we have three. All right, come on up front. We have our three volunteers. We're going to play a game called What's in the Box? We have keyboard music playing. Do we have a sound going? We had theme music ready. Here we go. It'll come. Okay, come on up front. Okay, we need to introduce. There we go. Here's our What's in the Box theme music. All right, What's in the Box? There it is. Thank you, DeShannon. Let's introduce, come on up front here. We're going to introduce our contestants here. First, right here, what's your name?
Maya.
Maya, how old are you?
11.
11. Okay, you're going to stand in front of this box, okay? It's a little tall, right? Okay, what's your name?
Zach.
Zach, how old are you?
9.
9. All right, you're going to stand in the middle there. We're not going to be able to see you real well. There you go, stand in front. And what is your name?
Abigail.
Abigail, how old are you, Abigail?
6.
6. All right. So you're going to stand in front of this box. So here's the game. On those boxes, you can see we have a box with a fish, a box with an egg, and a box with a puppy. And you don't know what's in those boxes. It could be a fish, could be an egg, could be a snake, could be a scorpion, could be a puppy. You're going to stick your hand into that box and pull it out. Yeah, No, you cannot look. You ready to play? All right, here we go. Maya, come on over to this side. Here we go. What do you feel in there? Nothing? Keep searching. I don't want to. Okay, here. I'll make it a little lower for you. Okay, try it. Here we go. What is it? Slinky and a Thinkorthings gift card. Thanks for playing, Maya. All right. Yeah, Thinkorthings. All right. Next box. That one was pretty good. You have any guess what's in this box?
No.
But you're still willing to stick your hand in there. All right. What is it?
Spray string?
Silly string and a Thinkorthings gift card. Congratulations. Don't lose that gift card. All right. Last one. Uh-oh. This one's a little tense. It says puppy, but you think there's a puppy in there?
No.
What do you think is in there?
I don't know.
I don't know. All right. Let's try it. Spider! And a Thinkorthings gift card. All right. Good job. Let's give our contestants a hand. You can go have a seat. Thanks, you guys. So, we learned a valuable lesson here today, right, kids? Our Father knows how to give good gifts. If we ask for a fish or a snake, you get a Thinker Things gift card, right? You get something even better. That is the point of this story. The point of this story is, even though we are evil, Jesus says, did you catch that in that verse? Even though you who are evil you know how to give good gifts to your kids. Maybe that's a little offensive to you that Jesus just called you evil, but let's just think about that for a second. Those of us who are parents, we know ourselves, right? Sometimes we can be sinful. Sometimes we can be selfish. Sometimes we can say just a minute, even though what we really mean is just about 4 hours. That's all it's going to take. Sometimes we can say, I'll think about it, when what we really mean is absolutely not, right? That was my kid that just answered that. We can be lazy like that. We can be selfish. We can be angry sometimes. We can be mean. We can be inconsiderate. That's just the reality. Jesus says, sometimes you are evil, but even those of you who are evil, you still know how to give good gifts to your kids. You don't give live centipedes to your kids for dinner. You give them food that's healthy, food that they like. You give them presents on their birthday. You give them Slurpees after school. So if evil people like us know how to give good things to our kids, Jesus says, how much more will your perfectly good Father in heaven know how to give good things to you? That's such a radically different concept of God than a lot of people have. Because I think a lot of people think of God as like a taskmaster, that he's the guy who just wrote that book full of rules, just a bunch of rules of things that you should do and things you shouldn't. And if you look at your life, you know you're not doing the things that you should and you are doing the things that you shouldn't. And all you think about God is that he's this boss who's always ordering you around, always correcting you, this guy who's always lecturing you, always disappointed in you. That's how a lot of people think about God. But according to Jesus, that's not what God wants to be. He wants to be a father to you. And there's three quick things about this father that we can see in this passage. Three things that tell you what kind of father God really is. Okay, first of all, he's a good father. He's not just any kind of father. He is a good father. He wants to be there for you. He wants to support you. And as I was growing up, I was so blessed to have a father just like that. A father who was always there for me all grown up, even till today. I could count on him anytime. So when I was 16, I just got my driver's license, and I asked my dad, why don't we go backpacking, okay? I want to drive us up into the mountains and go backpacking. So we went up into the Sierra Nevada Mountains, California, and we went just outside of Yosemite. We decided to go backpacking. We started hiking out into the wilderness. By the way, this is the first time either of us had ever been backpacking, but we just said, how hard could it be, you know? Just strap a backpack on, just start walking, right? We get about 5 miles in. We find this beautiful little lake. We set up camp right next to it, right under a big, majestic mountain. We set up camp for the night. Middle of the night, this lightning storm rolls in. It's lightning hitting all around us. It seems like this lightning storm has just camped on us as we are camping on that lake. And it's just lightning, lightning, lightning. And then I'm sitting there in that tent just shivering with fear. But, you know, I'm 16 years old. I've got a driver's license. I got to be a man. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to lay here in my sleeping bag silently. Finally, one of those lightning strikes hits the hill right above us, and it starts a rock slide. All of these rocks start tumbling down the hill. It sounds like boulders coming down this hill. All around our tent, you could hear them whizzing by. After that, I couldn't take it any longer. I'm like, Daddy, hold me. And I jumped into his arms, and he was there for me. He held me all night long through that lightning storm, my big 16-year-old self. My dad was there for me. Now, that's because that was my dad. If I was backpacking with my buddies, what would have happened? We all would have laid there silently all night, just shivering silently in fear, just wishing that we had our daddies to hold us, right? Wishing that we had our mommies there to hold us. Your parents, if you are blessed to have a good father, a good mother, you know what a blessing that is. Now, some of you are like, no, I don't really know. Some people have a hard time thinking about God as their father because they were disappointed with their father. I don't know how God could be a good father, but Jesus isn't saying God is like your father. Jesus is saying God is your father. He's your ultimate father. He's the best father you could ever wish for. And the only way that you could know that your father on earth is a disappointment is that you have a perfect father to measure him against. God is your perfect heavenly father. He is good. He's a good father. And then also, he's a generous father. He's generous. Jesus says, if you earthly fathers, if you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly father give? He is a generous father. He wants to bless because that's what a dad does for his kids. That's what a dad does. For the last few years, my kids, I've got four kids, they've been begging me for a dog. And my answer has always been the same, absolutely not. We already have four animals in this house. We don't have any room for any more. No, we're not getting a dog. Until finally, my two daughters got smart. They had the idea of dwarf bunnies. Dwarf bunnies. And they were really smart. They went to my wife first. They got Cindy on their side before they came to me. They're brilliant, okay? They're crafty. They're brilliant. And so my two daughters come to me, and they're like, well, Mommy thinks we should have dwarf bunnies because, you know, they're small, they're tiny. You'll never know they're there. They're going to be in a cage outside in the backyard. You won't even know they exist. They're quiet. You'll never hear them. You'll never see them. They'll always be outside. So finally, they wore me down. We went down. We got the cage. We got the food. We got the water bottle. We got the shredded up paper to go on the bottom. We got the bunnies, brought them home. And guess what? Those bunnies are never outside. They're always in my house. They're on my daughter's laps. They're on their beds. They're on my sofa all the time. But you know what? My daughters will be like, Daddy, come over here and snuggle with the bunnies with us. And initially, I was a little hesitant. I'm not a big bunny guy. But, you know, that's my daughters. So what am I going to do? Of course, I go over and I snuggle with the bunnies with my daughters. So we'll just hang out on the sofa, just snuggling with the bunnies and have a great old time. Now, here's the thing. What if one of my buddies called me up? He's like, hey, Matt, I've got some bunnies here. I want to snuggle with them. Why don't you come over and we're going to snuggle with some bunnies together? I'd be like, I'm never talking to you again, ever again, bro. All right? Because a father does things for his kids that he won't do for anybody else, right? A father treats his kids in a way he won't treat anybody else. A father is generous towards his kids in a way that he's not generous to anybody else. That's the point of this story. That's what God is like. He really, really wants to bless his kids. He really wants to give us what we ask for. And there's so many people here who've seen God do exactly that, right? Some of you have seen God provide a house that you didn't think you would get. Some of you have seen God provide a husband you didn't think you'd get. A lot of you guys saw God provide a wife that you didn't deserve to get, right? That's me for sure. I've seen God do so many things in response to prayer. And somebody, they might be like, well, maybe that's just coincidence. Maybe you pray and things happen and that's just a coincidence. Yeah, that might be. I don't know if God answers prayer or if it's just coincidence. All I know is when I stop praying, the coincidences stop happening. All right? That's all I know. Because our God is a generous God. He loves to give good gifts to his kids. And then the last thing we can see is God is a wise father. He's not only a good father and a generous father, he's also a wise father. He only gives what's good to his kids, even if we ask for something different. He doesn't give you a snake, even if you ask for the snake. He's not going to give that to you. Can you think of a time when you really wanted something and you didn't get it? And looking back at it now, you're just like, man, I dodged a bullet on that one. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give me that. Like when I was in college, and I auditioned to be on The Real World. Yeah. Those of you under 20, you're like, The Real what? You don't even know what we're talking about. But The Real World, it was the very first reality TV show, and it was terrible. It was just absolutely terrible. But they came to school. They were looking for people to be on The Real World. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely, I want to be on The Real World. So I auditioned. I made it through a few rounds of tryouts, and then finally they turned me down. And at the time, I was so bummed. I'm not on The Real World. Oh. Now, I feel so blessed. I'm not on The Real World, you know? It's amazing. Thank you, Lord, that I did not get what I asked for. Oh, how much different would my life be now if I actually got what I asked for? God didn't give it to me because he's a wise father. He only gives his kids what's good. Look at what it says in Psalm 34. We've got this on the screen. It says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Do you believe that? Maybe you're like, I don't know. I can think of 10 good things right now that I don't have. 10 good things that I'm lacking right now. But here's what that verse is saying. Listen closely. If that thing would be good for you, you would already have it right now. That's what that verse says. Because you don't have it right now, God has decided that thing would not be good, at least not for you, at least not in this season. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Sometimes God has to protect you from yourself and not give you things that you ask for because he knows they wouldn't be good. I mean, yes, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, but that's not an unconditional promise, right? So kids, if you've got a test this week, you just don't study for it at all, like not even a minute, you can't be walking into class going, God, please help me get an A on the test, right? He's probably not going to answer that prayer. On your way out of that test, you can't be like, God, please make Jackie Chan the president of China, because that's what I just put on that test. God, please, would you just do that for me? That's probably not going to happen, right? God doesn't go and change the president of China just for you. Because can you imagine what would happen if he did? If he just answered the requests that you have, no matter what they are? You'd be a monster, right? You'd be a monster. God is a generous father, but he's also a wise father. He only gives us what's good, what he knows will be good. And Jesus tells us the best thing that God can give us, the very best thing, can you guess what it is? It is himself. Look at verse 13 again. We'll have that up on the screen. In verse 13, Jesus says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God will give you his Spirit. In other words, he will give you himself. He'll give you himself, and that's better than anything else that he could give you. Because you can't lose him. You can't lose God. You can lose everything else. Tragically, we saw that this week, right? Looking on the news, looking on our news feed every day. 40,000 homes in Houston were destroyed this week. Just like that. Just in a day. 40,000 homes destroyed. More than 80% of those homeowners did not have flood insurance. So most of those homes are never going to be rebuilt, ever. Those families are homeless. You can lose your home. You can lose your car. I saw this week, I haven't been able to confirm this. This seems ludicrous to me. But what I saw this week is that 500,000 cars got totaled in Houston last weekend. 500,000 cars gone, just like that. That's 2/3 of the cars on this island that would be gone just like that. Maybe you're like, well, it'd be nice for traffic on the H1, you know? I could live with that. Yeah, not if it's your car, right? Be riding your skateboard down the H1, you know? You can lose your house, you can lose your car, you can lose your loved ones. More than 50 people now dead just from a little too much water. All of those gifts that God could give you, you can lose just like that. But not himself. When he gives you himself, You can't lose it. You can't lose God. The Spirit will never leave you. He will bring you God's acceptance all the time. He'll bring you God's guidance all the time. He'll bring you God's power all the time. And you will never, ever lose it. Because God is a good Father. And God is a generous Father. And God is a wise Father. He wants to give you the best gift in the universe. And that's Himself. I don't know, maybe you haven't received that gift yet. Maybe God isn't really your Father right now. You wouldn't call Him your Father, at least not yet. So you're like, well, how does that happen? How does God become my Father? What do I have to do? Well, Jesus says it in John 1. He says, to all who received Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. That's what John says. To all who believed in Jesus, who believed in His name, they became children of God. You just have to believe in Jesus. That's it. He died on the cross to take away your sin. He rose from the grave to give you new life. And so all you have to do to receive it is believe it. Just put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, as your King. And once you do, you have the right. Not just the blessing, you have the right to be called a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. God becomes your good Father, your generous Father, your wise Father. That's all He wants to be. Let's pray together.